Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, you look pretty alert this morning. So, just checking in. Raise your hand if your mirror greeted you properly. Okay, we're getting there. I can tell. We got a ways to go. Okay, we have some that have not trained their mirror yet. Would you please greet your neighbor? Good morning, you beautiful child of God. All right, so now we know who we are. Now we can go to work. One of the amazing things about this spiritual journey is discovering that we have the most effective biofeedback instrument ever created in the universe. It tells us again and again when it's time to do some spiritual work. It's called our bodies. And I'm sure you know that spiritual law, that gives that life, that creation begins from that spiritual level. It moves down through the mind, emotions, and that the physical world is the manifestation of that flow. That's the way it is. So when we get a little feedback in our physical world that says something isn't working right here, it's about looking at what's going on at all those levels. And when it comes to working with the body, I've been blessed with a wonderful friend who has really spent his life looking at that attunement and what takes place and how it comes into our experience and how we deal with it. He's had the gift of doing this as a physician. And as a result of that career and that journey, he has come to really pioneer in this the experience of integrative medicine, where the many ways of working with the physical and spiritual energy of the body are brought together. At the same time, he's created a tremendous vision of what it is possible to become in terms of supporting ourselves and each other through the medical profession and as conscious individuals in our care and our health and well-being. So would you join me in welcoming up here Dr. Len Saputo. Come on.
It's always a special treat to be with you, David, and with the congregation, because my work and your work are the same work.
They are the same.
And like you said, the body is a reflector of what happens to our higher self, to our spiritual path. And if we can appreciate that, it saves lots of trouble. We can learn to let go and let God.
And we end up realizing that if something's going on in the body, that if it brings to us an experience of disharmony, somewhere in that way that we are receiving that spiritual energy, that we're taking it through these different levels of our being, that there's something in there that needs attuned. And some of that can be at the physical level, which the medical community can bring to us. But there's also many, many other places that attunement can take place.
It needs to. It's a story. It's a story of our whole self. As a doctor, I don't look at us as just bodies or biochemistry or physiology. We're an inseparable combination of body, mind, emotion, and spirit, and we're one thing, not a bunch of pieces. You can't take a body or a mind or an emotion or a spirit out of that mix. And so sometimes we fall into the trap of isolating how we think into just a single domain. And it takes us away from the essence of who we are. So we have to go back and appreciate all those perspectives of who we are. And then remember that we're physical beings on a spiritual path. And it's not always so easy to give up the things that hold us in check, the headaches, the insomnia, the back pain, the stomach problems, all the things that challenge us in life that we run to the doctor for and say, where's that pill? Can you fix that for me? And all too often we go, sure, take this pill. And then take that one, and that one, and that one. And what happens is we feel better, but what do we do to solve the underlying issues that have caused our dis-ease?
When we realize that there is an attunement, there is an amazing intelligence that you are one with, this infinite intelligence that moves in and through us. And many of the practices that we use, the practice of prayer, of meditation, the work with a heart and with love, the experience of giving, all of these are ways of attunement because they help us to let go of things which no longer serve us, the ideas and activities and emotional patterns that block that flow so that it can come through and express in the health of the body.
So thank God you have a body because it's a messenger from your spirit that tells you obediently that something's awry and that we need to go back and re-examine why are we here? What's our purpose? And look at the oneness and try to focus on being present. Mm-hmm. You can never go deep enough into the presence to be able to appreciate what's our message. I mean, why did God put us here? And we lose that because instead of rising to the challenge of evolving to a higher level of consciousness, or instead of thinking of ourselves and what we can get for us in a narcissistic way, we begin to think and evolve to a higher level of consciousness where we ask the question, how can I be of service? What can I give? What can I share so that I can fulfill the essence of who I am and be of some kind of value? What will my epitaph say?
Leonard shared with me a very difficult experience that he went through in this past year that brought him to the point of looking at his own death and some of the choices that he had to make. And Len, would you be willing to share that with us?
Sure. It was just about 2 years ago that I had a hip surgery. I didn't think much of it. It took me 9 years to figure out that I needed it because I couldn't walk anymore. And there sure was a lot of appreciation in the medical profession to fix that. But things didn't go right. And I wound up getting poisoned by the hip. So the cobalt that covers the titanium started rubbing off and poisoned me. And a year ago, I had to have a second surgery eventually. But before that, just about 12, 14 months ago, I made peace with God because I knew I was in a place where I would probably die. And I was totally convinced that I looked at my lab work and went, oh my gosh, this is a very, very serious thing. I had some values that I hadn't seen in 35 years in patients in the ICU who did die. So God and I had a chat. I became humble and realized that it wasn't my decision whether I'd be alive or not alive. It was his. But I had a couple things I wanted to talk to him about. I had always prided myself in thinking, well, you know, if God wants to take me, I'll go. But then the reality of being in that situation, I wondered how I'd respond to it. And It was a measure, I figured, of my trust, with a capital T. It was trust. And if we can let go and let God and trust, everything changes. And we can be blessed by his power, his love, his compassion. So my conversation with him was about two things. One is, I have a wife and family that love me and friends, and they would suffer, I think, if I disappeared. And I also had more things I wanted to do. I wanted to be in service. I have teachings that I want to share. I wrote a book that I want people to read, and I have more that are coming. And I let go of it and said, whatever it is that you want, I'm there. I felt no fear. The dying part was okay. And as things turned out, I'm back in action.
So I want to focus in on a part of this, to have the gift of Len sharing this. When he stood with a medical profession that he had to say no to, because both his intellectual examination of what was going on and the guidance he had within told him what they were uniformly telling him was wrong. So to these colleagues, to this great body of knowledge, he had to say no to what they were asking him to do, because from within he heard something different. All that the medical world, or wherever we want to go, if you want to go to the legal world, if you want to go to the government, wherever you want to look, there are advisors. You are your only decider. And the answer is not with them. It's with you. And when you listen to that, then you can journey forward for whatever that means. And that's part of what I hear in your letting go. It was okay both ways.
Yeah. It was frightening in a lot of ways to talk to my professional colleagues who told me unless I would go along with the treatment that they wanted, which had nothing to do with what I had. They didn't know much about cobalt poisoning at that time. Even though there was a fair amount in the literature, they hadn't paid much attention to it, but I was a little bit more interested than they were in that. So I thought, and so they thought I had infection, and they had a program they wanted me to take, that in my weakened state, I don't think I could have survived. Maybe I would have. They tried to encourage me and say, go for it. And I finally stood up and said, no, I don't think you understand what the problem is. My heart is telling me something different, and I'm going to walk away from all this that you're offering me, in fact, even threatening me, because they basically said, stop being a VIP, Len. And just listen to us because we're the experts. Why can't you be like all the other patients we have and just be a good patient? So I said no, and I walked away from them, and I had no doctor except my trusted internist, Dr. Marty Braker, who is a colleague of 35 years now. And he basically said, I think you're right. You don't have infection. It probably is this poisoning. Follow your heart. So I said no and put my life on the line, basically. I said, I'm going to do it this way. And I did. And finally, when I found another surgeon who was willing to do what I asked them to do, he was very surprised. I remember him coming back after surgery and saying, I've never seen anything like this. I don't know what it is. And my first question was, is there any infection there? And he said, no, the pathology report showed nothing. Well, what did you find? A lot of scar tissue like I've never seen before. You must have a genetic defect for it. I said, no, it's the cobalt. And today, here I am. I'm playing tennis. I'm a husband again. I'm able to do these things. And it's wonderful. But the conviction comes from the inside. To follow your heart, follow spirit, trust. Capital T, trust. And that's what this is about for me in my teachings with a lot of my patients who have serious life-threatening illnesses or have serious disabilities that they can't go beyond, is trust. Let go. Let God do the work. I mean, he does know what he's doing. And if you could go along with that picture, you're probably going to be a lot better off, because all the worry in the world isn't going to solve it.
There were in the experience when you went through that inner dialogue, and you shared that you ended up reeling with the feeling of peace. One of the things to look at in our own experiences is when I say yes to that, when I go through the surrender and I let go, is that peace there? That's part of the way we know we are in that state of connection. And the other part of it is that these experiences come into our lives because we are ready to step forward into new purpose. Mm. I know that's so for Len and the work that he's about and what's before him. But I also want to acknowledge that we are at a very unique time in the history of humankind. The transformative energy that we are working with at this time is extremely high, which tends to make our drama extremely exciting. And at the same time, it is that ability to step forward into that next level of service and purpose for your life, and being able to say yes to that, however that comes to you, that invitation, that event that says, okay, it's time to let go and let myself move into that next level of spiritual service, that next level of purpose for your life, whatever that form is.
So you have a choice. You can fight these things that you don't like. Don't like what the government's doing. Don't like the taxes. Don't like the healthcare system. Don't like the corruption. Don't like what Congress is doing. And you can have another revolution. And all that is an extension of what is wrong and what you're complaining of. And so it's time to stop revolving around that and evolving to a higher level of consciousness, even though you think that by doing it yourself, that it doesn't count because it's not enough. But see, the role of a pioneer in this 10,000-mile journey is to do the first foot. That's all, just the first foot. You won't be noticed particularly. You'll be an unsung hero. But without you, there's no possibility for your concept to grow. So we have to evolve into a place where we're not stuck on ourselves and our own narcissistic needs. It's about giving and sharing and loving and forming community. And that's the evolutionary place where if we can grow, that we'll change the way the world is. And even if you just change one other person or two other people, or a congregation, or a city, little by little, you'll have evolved and made a difference. Trust your instincts. Give it a chance so that you can be the pioneer like the rest of us, because we're in this together. And if we do that as a supporting effort, as a community, this would be a pretty nice world.
What you know about that beautiful flow of spiritual energy that's coming in and through you is that it's coming for a purpose. as fun as it is hanging out here, that's not really why we came. You are an expression of an infinite love and power that is here to touch and uplift this world in which you live. And you have the wisdom, you have the knowledge, you have the power to say yes. Bless you. Thank you, Larry.